I am Bard, and by my hand was the dragon slain and your treasure delivered. Is that not a matter that concerns you? Moreover, I am by right descent the heir of Geryon of Dale, and in your hoard is mingled much of the wealth of his halls and towns, which of old Smaug stole. Is not that a matter of which we may speak? Further, in his last battle, Smaug destroyed the dwellings of the men of Esgaroth, and I am yet the servant of their master. I would speak for him and ask whether you have no thought for the sorrow and misery of his people. They aided you in your distress, and in recompense you have thus far brought ruin only, though doubtless undesigned.
Now these were the fair words and true, if proudly and grimly spoken, and Bilbo thought that Thorin would at once admit what justice was in them. Long hours in the past days Thorin had spent in the treasury, and the lust of it was heavy on him. Welcome to A Sacred Fellowship. This is episode 128, where your hosts, Catherine Olsen and Lorianne Schwenk, are using traditional, ancient, and diverse sacred practices to discern everyday themes in the works of J.R.R. Tolkien. We are using these texts to learn, to reflect on our lives, and to think about life's big questions.
Take a seat in front of your prime viewing area, or settle in your car and join us. Reading or watching in community is an essential part of what it means for us to treat a text as sacred, and we are glad you're here to continue building fellowship with us. We believe that by finding the sacred in these writings of Tolkien, we will learn to treat one another as sacred. Hello, Catherine. Welcome back from trip number one before trip number two.
I can't remember if we've done an episode since I got back, but yes,
Nope.
We have. We had that one.
No, November 1st. I think it was before you went away.
No, I got back on October 29th.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay. So we've had one. All right.
Yes.
So we did have one. And then
one whole
I
episode.
Went away. I went
Yes.
away. Right. So last time we talked about, what was it? The whole legendarium with themes.
Yes.
And this time will be specifically the Rings of Power and our theme of priority. But first, my first priority is, how are you? Do you have a dungeon or a tower for us?
Oh. Sorry, I had a really good tower in mind like 5 minutes ago, and then I had it slip out of my head. My dungeon is that I have just over 2 days until I get on a plane for my vacation, and people think that my time is wide open, which it is not. And so I'm trying to cope with all the complications of that. Oh, my tower is that I'm flying into Houston, and there's someone we know in Houston, and there's the possibility that I will be hanging out with them while I'm there.
That's
so
pretty
I will
amazing.
tell you on my next recording whether or not that was a successful thing. But
Yeah.
For now, I'm looking forward to possibly listening to some very well-pronounced words.
Awesome. That's good. But you're going to call me, right?
Sorry, what?
You'll call me, right?
If I manage to meet up with this person, I am insisting that we get on speakerphone with you.
Excellent. Excellent. I demand it. That is
How about
wonderful.
You?
Oh, dungeon. It'll relate to my story of priority. I'm being micromanaged right now by people who don't ever come to see what it is I actually do. And so I think they think I'm wasting time, or I don't know what they're thinking, because actually I've gotten to a certain point in my life where I don't care anymore what other people are thinking. And I certainly don't want to waste a minute guessing. But I have no idea what they're thinking, and no one is telling me that they're angry at me, but all of a sudden there are people who are trying to micromanage me, and it's incredibly annoying and incredibly frustrating, and it is a waste of my time. It's absolute, unbelievably annoying waste of my time, and I've had it. I'm so done with it. So done with it. My tower is There are many, as always. I'm trying to, well, I just got to go away myself a little bit. I was gone for 3 nights, and last Monday, so a week ago today, I had a day that would probably for some people be a once in a lifetime day. It was just beautiful and perfect and magical and amazing. And I was surrounded by beauty. It was a perfect day. I was in so many beautiful places. I saw so many beautiful things. Everything was just absolutely beautiful. And I'm just so reminded of Tolkien with everything I do. And so every time I'm in a beautiful landscape, I always think, well, what, where would this be? Where would this be in the books? Or if I were filming a retelling of the stories, what story would I want to tell in this landscape? And I just had so much fun playing with my imagination with that. But oh, I've got another story that relates, and I'm not sure if I can fit it into the theme or not. So I'm just gonna keep talking for a second.
Well, this is half of your podcast, so go for it.
Okay, well, then a week ago last Tuesday, I got to enjoy a day of beautiful rain where I didn't have to drive. And I had to go to various events in the rain and get soaking wet, and it was cold and raining. And the wind was howling, and kind of, so this is why it's sort of a tower, is that I have really been struck throughout the books of how incredibly resilient the characters are, walking through landscapes for miles and miles and miles, climbing mountains, walking over God knows what terrain. Some of them don't have shoes. We know that hobbits don't have shoes, and they're going through streams and muck and rocky areas, and they're climbing things, and it's freezing cold. And I actually thought, who cares if I get wet? I'll be okay. If Frodo and Sam, if Pippin and Merry could endure what they endured with the orcs, I can walk through the rain. And it was sweet because I would walk through the rain, do the thing I had to do, walk back to where I was staying, take off all the wet stuff, hang it over the blower. And then when I had to go to the next thing, everything was dry enough that I could go and do the next thing, come back, dry my clothes again. It was kind of fun. I got soaked 4 times on Tuesday, absolutely soaked to the bone. And I absolutely relished it because of these books. And of thinking of what these characters endure, it's what chapter two of The Hobbit, where suddenly they're in pouring rain. I could deal with it. I could deal with it. And I knew that wherever I went to get out of the rain, there were not going to be any goblins. So I love that with literature. I absolutely do. So,
And here I am complaining about the loose screw that cut my foot this morning. Only I
I
had tough, leathery soles like the hobbits.
know. Yeah, really. Walk barefoot some more.
Or the good sense to put on slippers, except I currently don't have slippers.
Oh my goodness. And whose birthday is coming up? Oh my goodness.
Well, whose birthday is while she's in the middle of the Caribbean Ocean?
Well, we'll send it after. So you won't need slippers there. So, all right. Okay.
Getting off
So,
topic.
getting off topic. All right, we're going to pull it back in. And our theme is priority. And we're going to talk about priority. I don't know why I'm yawning. I'm sorry. That's terrible audio. I am sleepy, but normally I don't yawn while we're talking. I'm not bored. I am just sleepy. So we're going to talk about priority. And I've just changed my story. My top priority right now is to make this noise. Can you hear
Oh,
anything?
that is gorgeous.
Can you hear that noise?
I hear it and I see the visual, and I'm just drooling.
And then let's see if there's a sound now. Oh, Is it
Oh, I
that?
even heard the
Yes.
opening of it for the first time.
Oh my goodness.
Now you have
So,
to tell everyone going, what the heck is she
what the
talking
heck is she doing? I'm opening my pistachio book. And what
Read
this is,
Illustrated
it's the
Silmarillion.
Illustrated Silmarillion. And so I saved this for you, Catherine, ripping off the plastic and opening the book. Let's do another section here. Oh, books, books. I love the smell and the feel of a book. So this is, if you don't have one yet, this is the Silmarillion with all the illustrations by the author in full color. I am so excited. And there's a map falling out, so I don't have to print one and have it fade over time. So my priority is beautiful, beautiful objects. No, people and friendships too, but especially with how crazy I am about all of this literature right now, this is so important to my life, all of Tolkien and everything. So when I saw that these were coming, I ordered in June. And so today was the day. So my priority today was undoing the binding on a new book.
Well, I thought of a story while you were talking because I forgot that my brother called me right before I went to the store tonight. And for a little bit of background, my sister-in-law recently spent several days at a library digitizing 6,000 pictures from our family.
6,000.
And 1,778 of these pictures of ju are just of the kids when they were growing up.
Her own children,
No, ours.
your family,
Our
so your
family.
brother, and yes,
So
wow.
me, my brother, my two sisters, and so I now have 1,778 pictures, many of which I have never seen before. And my
But
brother called really unexpectedly this evening, and he said, I just had to call and tell you that it is such a joy to see these pictures of times that I was not there, so I didn't ever get to see you like this. Because he's 4.5 years younger than me, and so he is getting this new perspective on what I was like as a kid, and he wanted to tell me how much he thought I was an adorable child. And I'm
You
like, that is the kind
are.
of priority that I need in my life sometimes, especially just as I'm about to turn the age of knowing the life, the universe, and everything.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, and thank you for all
Yes.
the fish. Oh my, I remember turning 42. Okay, never mind. I never wanted to be one of those people, but apparently I am. So wonderful, wonderful. That is very sweet. As people know, my brother has died, and he's kind of the last person who has the stories. So I that is a very important priority to have these moments with your brother. This is really special. And since you are older than he is, tell him every possible thing you can imagine about his babyhood and everything like that. Because if he, when everybody's gone who knows your story, it's really lonely. So story is a priority.
Also, the poor guy, his kids are the ones to ask me for stories, and I can tell them stories, and Reed sometimes gets very embarrassed by what I remember.
But that's your prerogative as an older sister to embarrass him and to know those things. Absolutely. Oh, I'm waiting for certain children to get a little bit older. Oh, yes. And then to bring home dates. And say,
Okay, I have
oh,
anticipatory Schadenfreude.
I knew. Yes. So we are going to talk about priorities in the Rings of Power. And why don't we start with Galadriel, since she's the first character we see? And what's her top priority?
Is Sauron. Kind of the easiest way to put it is her quest to defeat Sauron, and just I was rewatching the first couple of episodes this weekend, and the irony that I now have having watched the entire season, and oh,
His first words are, "Looks can be deceiving."
exactly.
Yep. Okay.
And some of her last words in the season are about him being the deceiver. Oh, I really. There were many people who I was like, okay, well, this could be a red herring or not. But Galadriel. Oh, I'm so struck. I love the ending of the first episode.
Yes, I do too.
It reminded me, quite frankly, of a verse of America the Beautiful, where it says, "Oh, beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than home their country loved, and mercy more than life." Galadriel, at the end of the episode, has been given leave and license and has been relieved of her burdens and is being sent home, as Gil-galad says. And you just see her pulled back almost inexorably, almost involuntarily, because she loves the pursuit of justice and the pursuit of restoring good more than she loves the possibility of being given a home again. And
And
it's just
we,
so characteristic of her.
right, it really is. And it's so fascinating to see Gil-galad that his priority is keeping the peace. He does not believe this enemy is here. And he also is concerned in a way that her pursuit will provoke more evil, and that finding Sauron might be more dangerous than not. And in some ways he ends up right, and in other ways he ends up dangerously wrong. And she's willing to take the bet that he's wrong. And what a brave, brave action. I mean, yeah, you're an elf and you're immortal and all of that, but that's a long way to swim.
Well, there's also the scene in the second episode where Halbrand and she are on that ship that's being almost overcome by the waves, and she slips beneath the water, is tied down to something that is rapidly sinking, and he decides to rescue her, and my brain will not let go of the thought of what was his purpose in saving her life. Other than, is this a moment where he realizes that he needs someone to be his almost ambassador, someone who he can trick into having faith in him or relying upon him for something, and then he can wile his way into the councils of the people that he is there to deceive? Or is it a moment where he is actually acting in goodness? Because one of the first lines of the entire show is that even Sauron was not evil in the beginning.
Right. And if you follow with the Silmarillion, there are times where his repentance seems real. So it's hard. And that's what's good writing here, is that we can't nail down what his priority is here. And I think both of your possibilities are excellent, that either he thinks this is going to be my helpmeet, or he thinks that she will smooth the way for me. And get me to people who are powerful so I can seduce them too.
Well, I mean, if it, they never, if they had gone first not to Numenor, but to, the Middle Earth area,
Linden or.
Region, or anywhere like that, Galadriel's power there is so much greater. I mean, it's a really a misfortune for him that they first land in this place where elves are mistrusted and there are different priorities, but kind of thank goodness they had time to have certain things prepared.
Right. Well, so say more about that priority in Numenor. What is different there?
Oh, well, we have a number of different people's priorities. We have Queen Miriel, we have Tara Farazon, or possibly just not, it's not our Farazon in that case. The priority I'm thinking of is Tar-Palantir, this
Her
far-seeing
father,
king, one
Miriel's
who
father,
has
right.
this foresight, but we also have his daughter, who is quite a lot like the Greek prophets, who she must discover truth when she is blinded. But she also has these visions before then, and we see people trying to build their strength as well as people trying to guard against weakness, and a lot of the kind of political outcry that we see among the citizens that is always, you know, within the show, is about it, the weakening of Numenorans, the danger of letting others become in control of power. And it honestly reminds me of some of the people in the Silmarillion who keep on going on and on about it, but we are so oppressed by the others, we have to stand on our own. And we know some of the outcomes of that. I'm not going to go into great detail because we've done that for like the last few months.
Right. Well, and think about the fine needle she has got to thread, because she is, I believe, still a believer. I don't think she's mocking her father, but her father is essentially in exile. And is she any better where she must keep up this front with our Farallon there? And so her priority is self-preservation in some way. And how many of them is their priority? Patience. How many characters in this are showing some kind of patience where they can finally be their truth selves? I mean, Elendil saying, oh, yes, I, you know, come from a long line of blah-de-de-blahs, but I'm just a, you know, just a guard now and all of that. But there must be something inside of him that feels a stronger calling. But his priority at the moment has to be waiting and playing the political game. You can't appear to be in opposition. And our Farazan, his priority is, of course, maintaining his control and perpetuating this island with its glory of men. So.
And then we have in the Southlands, Bronwyn, who mentions a couple of different times about how the people that she belongs to are still waiting for this king that was promised. And people are probably laughing at me if they remember what I was talking about the first time that we had a episode on the Rings of Power, because I was like, I love the part where he steps up and accepts that, yes, this is that role that he has to fulfill. He is the king that they've been waiting for. And I'm like, no, that's really not what that was. That was, you are looking for someone who will give you leadership. I am going to give you dominion over you. So, yeah.
And contrast that with the natural leadership that Bronwyn shows. And, woo, fights off an orc in her own home and has no problem bringing that the head of it to Waldreg. I love that. And being a mother of a teenage son, we all know that's difficult. So she, you know, here she is, really the king that they're looking for, really the leader they are looking for. But somehow or other, they're missing that. And I'm not necessarily seeing that as a sexism, but somehow or other, she's just not, somehow not right, or it's not jumping out to other people that she could be right, whether it's bloodlines or other stupid things. But it's so clear that her leadership is so strong and so clear, and she is so brave. So I love that character.
Sorry, now I'm yawning because of you.
No, I've stopped.
I'm like, you just inspired it. Right. It sounds really rude, but I'm like, you did it. And then me resisting for 15 minutes or so.
How about this? It's still the time change.
Yes.
Because I am waking up at 4 in the morning thinking my body is thinking that it's 5. And so by the time we're recording now, it is only 8 o'clock my time and I'm sleepy. So this is
all women. I'm jet lagged from my recent trip.
Yes, you can be that. That's good too. So other characters, and so Arondir.
I was actually just about to bring up him because of his. We don't know exactly where it's going with Bronwyn, except for in the Legendarium, we do not have this number of elves and humans and that sort of thing. So it probably will end tragically, but there is the part where he has been recalled from the war because the days of peace have begun. Yay.
Yay.
And he references that he has expressed something, but never in words. And I'm like, he is in love with her in some way. And the way that he does it is to look after the things that she needs taken care of and that she herself takes care of. And it is never actually expressed out loud what his feelings are, except he is someone who is serving as an expression of love. And so is she. She is someone who loves her community, she loves her family. And in a way, I think she's starting to feel things for Arondir.
Well, and he says that he has been at this post for 87 years.
About
So
her
he
79.
saw her family grow up and then her grow
Yeah.
up. And so he has made it a priority in a way to keep this family safe and this whole community safe. And so, I mean, here's this show that's going into details we've never had before. And now I even want more backstory.
Good thing we have four seasons left.
Right. But what did he think of her grandmother? And all of that. And so I think that's why he doesn't say it out loud, because here he is, an 87 years after he first arrived, and he looks just the same. And
Very Doctor
yeah. And she is a mortal who is going to, right. Yeah, I can live. You can spend the rest of your life with me. I can't spend the rest of my life with you, said
Who.
the doctor to Rose.
Where's a regenerated hand when we need
When
one?
you need one, exactly. So,
Not going to clone any elves. Sorry, people.
no. So I see Arondir, and his priority is probably also maintaining those boundaries, because he will. Whatever those 87 years are, have been just a short stay for him, and he will move on to something else or whatever. I love how right off first thing he's called soldier by various people, including orcs, when he's been captured, and in the end, then it's Muriel who last calls him soldier, and then of course Galadriel referring to Theo as soldier. I believe. I again, I haven't seen it for a little while, but I think that
I
that
do
use of the
remember
word
that scene.
is an interesting word for him, that he's not going to be one of the heroes. And that's why I'm less concerned about whether he does in the end have a relationship with a human, because they don't enter the great stories. This is not a king. This is not a bringing together of great bloods or things like that. Maybe this is just two folks who will love each other for a time. So, but
The
we
elvish
don't.
equivalent of a fling because it's less than
Right.
200 years.
Yeah, exactly. So any other characters? So what is Theo's priority?
I have a feeling that Theo is in a place where he, as a younger member of this community, as well as someone who has been in a state of almost community flux where they are in anticipation of things going in a certain direction, but they have to deal with possible dangers on their own. I see his priority as self-edification, but not in the way that you like read a self-help books, do some yoga, get maybe a certification in something. It is something where he is looking to be a powerful person at a stage where he feels very powerless.
He seems so young, but his voice has changed.
He
So
seems
here,
like my 17-year-old brother when my brother was 17.
well, different from your brother, but Theo is fatherless, we see. And perhaps wants to step into that manhood, but doesn't, but is almost too young yet to get what that really involves and what that takes, and really still needs his mom. So I think he's just a beautiful expression of the teenager whose priorities are everywhere. And he wants to be brave, and he wants to be taken care of,
And he
and
wants to be independent.
right. So he is in a very sympathetic place. I'm a little more sympathetic to him the second time through than I was. He was just an annoying adolescent boy before. Now he's just a darling, annoying adolescent boy. So, go figure. Go figure. Elrond, what do you think is his priority? Speaking of essentially someone who seems to come across as, at least at the apprentice level, still. He's kept out of events where only master
Elf
elves
lords are,
or elf lords are allowed to be.
but yet he's given the role as a kind of communications director for those who have not necessarily cast him out but are unable to include him. I love the scene in the first episode where he's trying to write this speech for Gil-galad. And
Dead
he kind of
tree.
has this moment of a smile when he gets to the part where he describes it something as rain on the remains of it. I can't remember the exact phrase, but
I
he's
can't
like trying to figure out how to say,
say it right. Yeah.
we're washing away the dead corpse. Well, dead corpse is kind of redundant, but it's like
Right.
things are going to be in the matter of the past. And he finally found the right words for it. And
He
when
found the right
in
words.
the ceremony he gets to that point with Gil-galad, you see just this moment of pride.
Yes,
But I
yes.
don't think that's, I mean, that's a I like that as a writer thing rather than what his priority thing is, because I
But
have a
I think his priority is proving himself, and so he will do it by whatever means he has at his disposal, and he can write, so he will try it with that.
Well, I see for me, I know this is kind of trite and predictable with me, but Elrond is starting to become someone who is looking for fellowship. He is someone who is looking
Ah,
towards how we can bring Galadriel into the fold and to keep her from, going in ways that are incompatible with their society. He's looking for ways to restore the ties with the dwarves. And I think that this is going to be coming much more into focus as we go on in the seasons.
I like that a lot. That's not trite in the least.
Well,
Very good.
it's predictable because I talk about fellowship and almost as much as I talk about, missionary stories.
But that's great. I'm glad that you brought that up. So then thinking about the dwarves, and so say a little bit more about what you think he wants to accomplish by connecting with the dwarves. Can
Well, I
you?
think that he, first of all, this is kind of it starts with Celebrimbor and really what you were talking about with Elrond being kind of almost at an apprentice level, he is someone who is undeniably powerful in certain ways, but he is willing to be not necessarily subjugated to a person, but willing to humble himself in order to let others discover their contributions to a society. He does that with Celebrimbor by becoming his student, really, even though he's assigned, but he definitely does not try to overstep. But when he goes to the dwarves, I personally think that he let Doran win at a certain point because he knew that it would be more forward moving and beneficial for the alliance between the dwarves and the elves for him to be humiliated.
I like that. Very good. Yep. No, he and maybe that's his wisdom in choosing the immortality and the elf path. Is that, perhaps for a mortal human, such humiliation would have greater repercussions because your life is shorter. You don't know if you can rebuild from that, but he's got time. He can afford to wait or afford to put himself in a position like that. I like that very much, but I really love that his priority is fellowship, not necessarily having a better position for himself.
He's not campaigning for anything,
No.
but I think he is lobbying for something.
I think so, but I think you're right that he's building fellowship in that way as a means towards it. That, well, he'll have certainly more people behind him. Well, that's why I think one of the great disappointments is when he finally sees Galadriel. It's so anticlimactic. Like, oh, what are you doing here? It's like the Californians. Stuart, what are you doing here? Galadriel.
Not sure I get that joke.
Oh, that's from Saturday Night Live. It's a takeoff on soap operas, and it's called The Californians. And everybody's speaking Valley, and they're all ending their sentences going upwards. You know what I mean? And there's all this over dramatization, like a soap opera, including catching someone with someone else and saying, "Hey, what are you doing here?" Except it's California.
Okay, now I understand.
What are you doing here? And then it always ends with a grand discussion of highways in California. So you take the 405 to the 1 to the 210 or whatever. Because that's how we talk here. And so it's that you should Google or, you know, YouTube the Californians. But that's kind of how it struck me when he sees Galadriel. There's really no surprise. Did he know she jumped overboard? No. So what? But anyway, we won't quibble. We won't quibble. any other major care? Oh, we haven't talked at all about Harfoots.
The Harfoots.
Yes.
Nori and Poppy.
Yes.
And Marigold and all those wonderful people.
Oh, those wonderful Sadok. And now I realize that he is Sir Lenny Henry. Oh, man. One of the greatest actors. Okay. Takes me a while sometimes, but yes. Well, there.
It's kind of hard for me to pin down what the priority of the Harfoots is.
Survival.
Well, I mean, they have their slogans, they have their community kind of ethos, but in terms of where they hope that all of this is leading them to, I'm not sure exactly what it is, other than survival, which is really a vague concept.
Well, and they accept that people die, and we see the remembrance scene, and that they can even laugh about it. I love how they name one person, and the reason is bees. They all just start giggling. But I think that
someone who's allergic, I did not like that part.
I'm allergic as well. And I would hope people didn't laugh at me if I died of bees. But anyway, I think that's the nomadic thing, is that there's not a final destination. They're following seasons. They're trying to stay away from other people's moving and things like that. And then the point would be to have a child before you die so that there's somebody else to help with the caravan. And I think that that's the utter priority. And so we see this shining light in this Nori, where she just feels this itch to be something more than that. And I love that. And I don't think she can even put a word to what her priority would be, but she's also seeking fellowship just outside of her people. That insularity is not satisfying for her. So I see her as hoping to build fellowship, and she certainly does not give up on that stranger, despite many opportunities when he is terrifying. I had to look away, and I'm watching it for the second time.
Whenever I see a new movie that's going to be part of a series, or if I read a book that's going to be part of a trilogy or anything like this, I keep on looking forward in my head from the beginning to storylines that we're going to see develop, or things that we're going to finally get an understanding of. And one of the things is, I am looking forward to the storyline that gets the Harfoots to put down roots.
Right.
And because I think going to have to be a massive shift in their dynamic. It's going to take something that really compels them to have this involvement. And so I'm just looking forward to what the heck that is.
Right. So that tells me we'll see Poppy again.
Yeah.
And that she'll probably be part of that conversation and that decision. So what do you think would make them feel safer settling down than wandering?
Actually, my personal theory is that as they become involved with the big people and the wider world, there is a moment in which they are expected, or they are asked, to kind of be a watchtower, kind of be a fortification. And the only way to do this is to find a place where they are the line of defense in that area. And as it goes on, they kind of have a loyalty to that part of the land, and we don't know exactly what happens, but I mean, that's where I would go with it if I were writing on this.
Well, I think it's going to play into when there is a king in the north, when there is Isildur and Anarion and that line of kings, and that maybe that provides the safety where they don't feel like they are going to have to be on the move all the time. That the roads are safer, and that staying put will suddenly become a safer thing.
Well, we know from concerning hobbits at the beginning of The Lord of the Rings that they learned their letters from the big folk, and so this is while they were having association with the realm of kings, and so that is definitely something that I agree with, that we'll be looking forward to.
Right. And then it's always like once you finally see what we get, how disappointing will it be? Or will it be 75% close or whatever? I have written so much fan fiction in my own that because of disappointment. So we shall see as these things evolve. So it's hard to take a sacred practice from a visual thing because we can't necessarily read something and discuss it. But what I thought we would do is maybe talk a little bit about the end of the fourth episode. Okay, the dwarves have started mining the Mithril, and there is a sounds like a tunnel collapse of something. And everybody does get out alive, but Durin the fourth is terrified of what his father will say. And so then we see this very moving speech where Elrond says he'd give anything to get yelled at by his father, as it were, and relates the story about how long it's been so long since he lost his father. And he can see where his father is, but he can never, ever speak to him again or hear from him. And so we see Durin the fourth going in and asking for forgiveness. And the father in the end saying there's nothing to forgive. And so I was just thinking, how do we make that a sacred practice? We can't reread that and we can't watch this while we're doing a podcast. But just relating that little bit, and if there's details I've missed, feel free to throw them in. I'm just wondering if you could relate anything like that to your own experience. And so what would you say first would be the priority in that scene?
Well, I think this goes back to a couple of different sacred practices that we use where we discuss with what this calls us to do or what sermon would we preach on this subject. And for me, the message of it has to do with understand your resources and understand your not exactly privilege, but your blessings, and let that empower what you choose to do, rather than looking towards what has divided you or what has been lacking in the past. And so I think this moment where Durin is able to talk to his father and looks for forgiveness, but the need for forgiveness has already passed, it is a kind of meeting in the middle between the two, and we don't know exactly the far details of it, but it, we know that this is something cathartic. What are you thinking of?
Well, I'm thinking of what it's like to, in a sense, to be this kind of princeling prince, and to know that at some point you will be the lord of all the dwarves. He's this Durin the fourth will be Durin. And he will be the father of all dwarves and lord of all. And again, we've talked a bit about patience. And so his priority, I think, is to try to show that he can be that leader, and that maybe what he gets out of that is this sense of patience that it isn't quite his time yet, and that there is still a journey to travel. And I think, you know, I'm thinking of relating that to things I have to be patient with about my work. And I remember, like, a long time ago, complaining about some woman that I was had to deal with and how unpleasant it was. And the person I was talking to saying, you might get rid of that person, but then someone else is going to come along who's just exactly the same frustrations, the same annoyance, the same personality things. And so I think the place I am in my life is of saying more about, well, how can I now work with that person, express my frustration privately at home, elsewhere, out of the way. And so I see wonder whether younger Doran has been itching against his father, and he can't get rid of his father, he can't replace him. And even a great discovery isn't going to do that. His father is still king.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to dethrone him just by finding Mithril. So he has got to learn that patience, that this difficult relationship that he has with a strong-willed father is one he has to make that a priority. He can't just escape that. And then it's, I think, you know, again, also he's going to have to remember what is that like? What is that going to be like then for him when he is the leader? Who's going to be chafing against him? And can he show that same kind of forgiveness?
I also see a bit of him coming into a realization. Well, bear with me for a second. I feel as though he is aware that he has stewardship that is extant and that is to be anticipated. But in this situation, he is looking at this stewardship and starting to understand to a greater degree what it means for his kind of first priority when he becomes a leader to look for ways to mend before he looks for ways to be right. And so I think it's a good moment of kind of turning a tide, possibly, but I could be just coming out of nowhere because I'm like, it's one scene, not necessarily something that's completely character defining.
No, that's true. That's true. And we don't know what will come in future seasons. But yes, that's it. To look to mend rather than looking to be what is right. Can you relate?
I'm trying to think of stories that don't involve me. Well, honestly, so going back to another missionary story, yay!
Good.
Every week, you know, I was there for a year and a half, and I had companions from the shortest one I had was 2 weeks because she was then sent to Argentina. She was waiting for a visa, and the longest one I had was 7.5 months between various assignments. And every single week we had to do companionship inventory. And it was 1,000% more important for us to find a way that we could work together without expectation of coming to an agreement than it was for us to hash out the things we had that annoyed each other about things. And the person I was with for a total of 7.5 months, she told me on day one that she didn't think she was ever going to like me, and told me on the last day that she had never changed her mind. And so I'm like, it was a moment of this kind of looking for a way to make mending to be with that person on such a consistent basis.
I've never had anybody be that brutal just saying that. But I've definitely had situations where it worked really well with somebody and yet couldn't stand each other. Absolutely couldn't stand each other. And yet just by the thing we could agree on was that the job had to be done and had to be done well. And I could count on him and he could count on me. And we didn't have to like each other. And that was all that mattered, you know. Yeah, that's good. That's good. So, you
And
know, it's.
weirdly, all of that is reminding me of Encanto and the Familia Madrigal with
Yeah.
their different gifts.
Yes. Right. Oh, I just love that. Wonderful. And yeah, I see Elrond is having a gift of that. And perhaps Durin doesn't have that so strongly, and it's harder with a parent. It is harder. So we all know how the end of the season is, where there seems to be a rupture. But it is still, they're still father and son. So I still have some faith that there will be something that evolves for them. But
And that reminds me that we never talked about, Isildur and Elendil really and their relationship.
there's another father son, right? That's a puzzle for me and a tricky one. And then we see the daughter who's so obviously successful and the son who is kind of sabotaging things. Yes, that's interesting. Where will that go? But we do see throughout this series where Elendil chooses the love for his son over other things frequently. And he doesn't stop loving his son because his son screws up. And when he needs to, as his commander, he will reprimand him, but he is always his father. And he's a good example of that, I think. Am I remembering that well?
Oh yeah, and I'm just going, we have such a long ways to go from here to the moment where Isildur picks up his father's sword and defeats Sauron for a time.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm willing to wait. I don't need to rush through this at all.
I'm willing to wait for it.
Wait for it, wait for it. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. But I'm definitely enjoying the rewatch of this a lot more than the Hobbit movie. So.
Which is weird because with the Hobbit movies, we have this thing that comes so close to being true to the books that we chafe at the few parts where it really deviates. And here we have, well, we don't know much about the parts that they're allowed to use for the books from the books, and so we have to kind of put our faith in lots of things we do not yet know about.
And yet I am seeing a fidelity to the laws of the universe. So while we're not seeing the stories of any particular book come alive, I'm seeing things that have some great faithfulness. And whereas the rude nude dwarves bathing in the fountain in Imladris,
And jumping on the table to sing along and
right,
and then
and then Thorin sledding on molten gold. And I don't want to go all Neil deGrasse Tyson, but it takes me out of the scene when I realize that that's impossible.
Yeah, I'm
And
like 100% not a scientist, and that bothered me.
yeah, so I am less bothered by things I'm seeing, though I'm not quite sure how Galadriel withstood a pyroclastic blast, but she's an elf, so maybe that's it. I don't know. When I watch it again, I'll see what makes sense for me. But at any rate, all right. Well, thank you for taking a trip into our lives and comparing it with the text. That's
Oh, thank you. I have a roommate who still has not watched it, and so I need to talk to
oh.
someone in this kind of detail about the love that I have for this series while I have to wait for someone else to catch up.
Oh my gosh, what is she doing in the next few days before you go? Oh no.
Tonight gaming, tomorrow we're hosting a birthday party for something someone. Wednesday we have to pack and clean out the fridge, and then we leave on Thursday morning, and my gosh, we have so much to do in so little time.
Oh no, this is crazy. She hasn't watched it yet.
I
Okay.
respect it, I just don't understand
All right. Well, We respect the podcast. We don't know exactly when the next episode will be. It'll be after your trip. I think we have a date, but I forget. But
Well, I get back November 30th, so sometime after that.
the next Monday, I think, is the fourth or it's the fifth, I think. So we'll talk. We'll talk. I think it has to be the sixth. So we will record sometime in early December. And you had made a wonderful suggestion to look at all of the legendarium and looking for moments of kindness.
Yes,
And I
let me
think
just
that's.
elaborate on that for a second. Recently on Twitter, there was a discussion of what are the kindest episodes in Doctor Who? And this sparked a discussion, of course, among my friends who are very fond of that series. But if we were talking about other works that this might be considered in, and one of them that came up was Legendarium. And so I decided that I should propose doing the same kind of discussion with Tolkien, and we will be looking at anything from The Adventures of Tom Bombadil, I have a poem in mind, to The Unfinished Tales, and I bet a lot of people have ideas. We will probably put this out as a community question, and there will
Yes, we
be
will.
plenty of time for writing in answers.
Absolutely. And we'll look for some wonderful examples and notes from the Shire or if anybody is interested in joining with us when we do this, that would be nice. I would love that. So that will be in about 2 weeks or so. And my keyboard is being a brat. Okay, nope, that's still not right, but I can live with this. No, I can't live with what my keyboard is doing, what my iPad is doing. The keyboard is horizontal and the text is vertical, or vice versa. Okay, now it is normal. I have had a day of technology. So, okay, I believe that brings us to an end. And in about 2 weeks, we will have that conversation about kindness. We
Yes,
do
but
love.
we do keep on going. I was about to start the next paragraph, and then
Well,
I was
I'll read
clearly
it.
didn't
We
know if you
do
were.
love hearing from people. We have some new members. Well, this
Hi,
is
Maddie.
wonderful. Hi, Maddie, and everybody else. We love hearing from you. Our community is really growing stronger every day. If you'd like to join our Facebook community, look for a Sacred Fellowship. I'm not going to push Twitter right now. We haven't been posting, and Twitter's kind of a hot mess. So I'm going to not mention that. But Instagram is a Sacred Fellowship. And you can also send us an email at asacredfellowship@gmail.com. Catherine is very good about checking that. And maybe while she's away, I will look. And thank you
Oh,
to.
I should delete some of the
Uh-oh. Thank you to all of you for helping keeping our spirits up and our thoughts flowing. Please read and comment on A Second Breakfast at our website. And I do have to still write something on Muriel and blindness.
things.
I told you about that before and I haven't done it, but I still want to, so it's going to happen. And you can look at Second Breakfast at our website, www.asacredfellowship.com.
We also very much have valued the contributions of our Patreon supporters. Your support of the site and hosting costs is much appreciated. If you feel inspired to join their ranks, please look at the options on www.patreon.com/asacredfellowship. Perks have ranged from patron shoutouts to Tolkien-themed presents, and we appreciate every dollar.
And do you happen to have a note from the Shire for us this week?
Nope, we've been wandering too far afield of the Shire, and the Harfoots are still not settling down, so we
They're
do not
still
have
not
one
settling
this
down.
week.
Okay, that is fine. But we look for your comments. You too could be a note from the Shire. And we also welcome your reviews. That helps other people find us. So please, 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 on whatever method you are using to listen to the podcast, write us a review. I've been trying to do that for the podcast I listen to, the several that I listen to, because I know how much it helps. So please, since you folks listen, we would really appreciate it. And then I know if you're sitting in your car, you can't kind of stop and do that. So send yourself a memo. Do it
And
at
we
home.
do have someone who writes a review every single week once he's done in the middle of the night because he works overnight. And so
Yes.
it's always a nice thing to wake up on a Tuesday morning and see what he has to say about this week's episode.
Wonderful.
Well,
This
for
brings
now,
us to
we
the
thank
end.
you for joining us. We hope you will be back not next week, but sometime after I'm back with probably a sunburn and a lot of stories about Jamaica. And in the meantime, may your home be your Western star, Namarie.
Maria.